Life Audio.
Today on Talk About That, John reassures me about my use of text emojis and admits he can't multitask. Meanwhile, I find a car wash with the dumbest name ever and tell the story of the original doorbuster Christmas toy, the Cabbage Patch Doll. Plus a conversation about how to be a better listener and learner. Today's episode is not sponsored by Eggnog, only available 1 month out of the year because it's disgusting. But first, a word from our actual sponsor.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Saddle up, Johnny. We're going to the wild west of conversation again. Let's talk about that.
We got a trail to blaze.
See, you went old school Christian with it.
I went 91.
Oh, man, it was that far back?
The Great Adventure.
That was
Stephen Curtis Chapman.
It was a big song.
It was.
You know, he did a remake.
Oh, did he?
He did like a reprisal.
The late Great Adventure?
He had like an album with they're kind of acoustic-y, but they had other instrumentation and stuff in it. But yeah. Do you watch Taylor Sheridan shows?
No. Who's that?
That's the guy that does Yellowstone.
Okay.
On Paramount?
I stopped watching Yellowstone after the first half of the first episode because they shot a horse in the face, and I couldn't take it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And if that ruins the show for anybody, I apologize.
Well, yeah, he does put a horse down in the first. He's had a car wreck, and the horse is in pain, and he puts the horse down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, well, you really brought this down. But anyway, there's a...
I'm sure he's a great director.
He's a bunch of spinoffs.
Yeah.
There's one called Lawman Bass Reeves, which is based on a true story.
Lawman?
Well, it's Lawmen,
oh.
Which I think that means they're going to maybe bring other series into this Lawmen.
Is Bass Reeves more than one man?
That's the point. He's one guy. So I'm going to guess.
Lawmen, colon, Bass Reeves.
Well, if I don't see a colon, it's like up. It's weird. Why?
But why would it be Lawmen, Bass Reeves if it's one dude?
I think it's like.
Is he Bass Reeves?
Yes. I think that the point
is he a fish?
He's going to do more.
If he's a fish, I'm in.
He's going to do a series on other lawmen, too. Like like Lawmen Wyatt Earp or something. But I don't know that for sure. But the plural is confusing nonetheless.
If he was a bass, I would watch it. So I'm driving in Donaldson yesterday.
You're not going to let me tell you about the Bass
Reef? Go ahead. I was sidetracking you already. It's too early in the show for me to rabbit trail you. Go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway.
Speaking of rabbits, John. Okay, go ahead.
It's based on a true story.
Okay.
But he was a slave, and then he fought for his master in the Confederacy. That happened. Like he was forced to.
Yeah.
And then he ran away
mm-hmm.
and became eventually out in Arkansas, became the first black deputy marshal in wow. American history. So he's like it's a really interesting.
Wow.
Like during Reconstruction, basically, which I don't know what happens because when Reconstruction ends for him, I don't know that part of the story. But anyway. Super interesting. Not endorsing everything about it, Johnny.
I'm not saying you were.
The Wild West is what made me think of that. So, all right, you're driving through Donaldson.
Driving through Donaldson. The Bass thing reminded me of this. And there's one of those, like, these car wash places that you can join as a member keep popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
There's a million different ones. Mr. Car Wash, Speedy Clean, all the places.
Right.
This one was called Cheetah Clean.
Cheetah?
Cheetah Clean, and had a picture of a cheetah on it. And I was like, okay, first of all, cheetahs aren't known for their cleanliness. I guess you're saying it's fast. But that's not.
That doesn't mean it's good.
And second of all, like, can you really be mad if your car has spots after you've been through Cheetah Clean? It's in the name.
Guys, come on.
You know what I mean?
They did this to themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Did we miss a spot or did we add a spot? You're like, welcome.
Do leopards and cheetahs both have spots?
The cheetahs have spots.
I don't know. No, leopards have spots.
Hold on.
Oh, man. There's
ask
no
Siri.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ask Chat. I ask Chat everything now.
Oh, Chat GPT?
You use his last name? Yeah, I talk to Chat all the time now. It's just open, like, hey, Chat.
Cheetahs have spots.
Do cheetahs have spots?
Do they?
And Chat says, yes, cheetahs are known for their distinctive spotted coat.
Thank you.
Black tear markings on their faces and small, evenly spaced black spots covering their bodies help them provide camouflage in the grasslands where they hunt. So, yeah, thank you, Chat.
And are known for their clean cars. Clean
cheetah
automobiles.
Cheetah clean. If you're going to open a car,
yeah.
Wash.
Yeah.
What would you call it?
Huh.
Does it have to be pithy? Or can it not just be like, hey, Johnny's car wash.
Scrubble you. Yeah?
Johnny Scrubble.
You like that?
You just came up with... Guys, he's Johnny W.
Yeah.
And now he's Johnny Scrubble you.
I will scrubble your car.
That was quick.
Yeah.
You're ready for crowd work
at this point. I think it's going to happen. It needs to happen because that's the way comedians do it now so they don't burn material. They're just like, hey, what do you do? Hey, why don't you give me some material? And then they do like 25 things to get one funny one, and then that's the one you see.
Yeah.
And now people are coming to shows and yelling at comedians because they're like, this is what they want, right? We're supposed to shout things out? Anyway, we can talk about the death of comedy at a later time. I'll be at Zany's. December 27th, John.
It's a big night.
And I know this episode goes out this week, and I also have a show this week in Franklin, Tennessee at Generation Church with my buddy Paul Aldrich.
Yeah.
So you can get tickets for both those shows on my website. Those are my last two shows of the year.
So that's johnnyw.com, right?
Yes.
JONNIE.
Correct.
Not to be confused with the conventional spelling of Johnny.
I'm not a conventional guy, John.
Well, it shows.
Johnny, you added an H when you shortened your name, which I find completely ridiculous.
There's lots of...
You're a Jonathan with no H.
I know. Technically, I did nothing, but wow. I'm so glad I have the H, even though Jonathan has no H. When I see a Jonathan with an H in the Jonathan, it bothers me. I'm like, that's an affront to the spelling of that particular name.
I hate when people bring an affront to things.
Ugh.
By the way, I'm going to be vulnerable. So we text a lot.
Okay.
And I text with other of my guy friends.
You do? Oh, sorry.
And I've noticed something. It's only come to me the last few months. And I'm like, I wonder if this is like, I should know this. I should know not to do this. Is this wrong in culture?
Okay.
I think I'm the only one of my guy friends who uses emojis.
I use emojis.
Do you?
Yeah.
Like to the level that I do, though? I use the ones they suggest. Like if I'm typing something and it gives me like a little choice of a little face, I go, you know what? Let's throw that in.
Yeah.
Let's give a thumbs up. When I say good and it gives you the thumbs up option at the end of the sentence, you go, you know what? Let's add that.
That's better than a good.
But I notice when my other guy friends respond, they're just like, okay, see you there. And I'm like, am I weird? Are emojis feminine? Do you think it's a feminine thing to be like excited and like put little cartoons in your text?
Is that what's going
on here?
I don't know. I mean, you're asking a guy.
Well, that's what
obviously
I mean.
With his.
I'm just trying to get a feel for like what another feminine guy does, so that I can be like, let's get a control for the research.
Yeah,
No, but you know what I mean.
I don't know. Use them.
Yeah. Okay. So me and you.
I have a couple go tos.
Right.
But. Yeah.
John Christ used to have a bit.
But you know the most masculine emoji that I use though.
What's that?
Is the double fist.
Sure.
I'll send two fists a lot. Maybe I'm trying to overcompensate.
John Christ used to have a bit about, and I don't know if he ever put it on stage, but it was like a text, a tweet, and it said, if I was a youth counselor, the first thing I would do is just let me see the page of your most recent emojis. Because, you know, they have that page where it just stores the last 20 that you've used in your little emoji typewriter. He goes, let me just see the last 20 you've used. And it's true. Like, if you knew that... You can get to the heart of like a lot of a person's personality.
Wow.
You could be like, wow, that's a lot of,
it's a lot of eye rolls.
Yeah. You could just be like, okay, well, clearly, show me the context of this because your emojis say you're in a lot of trouble.
show me your emojis and I'll show you your life.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I just wonder that because like, I just noticed like I have other, even comedian friends, and I think I'm the only one in this text thread that's using emojis. Am I the weirdo, or am I am I hitting the third rail of culture? I'm getting the good stuff from life. Right, I am exploring.
You're putting in the extra effort, and they're all just meandering their way through life and not. I think
I'm
guys,
open to the idea I'm a weirdo. I'm open to
it. Well, you should be.
Okay.
You should be open at least to it.
But at least we're there together.
Well, we're in a community group together, and we've talked about this as a group with the guys. There are guys in groups that just texting is just not there.
Right.
They're especially group texting. In fact, I find that in groups across the church over the years, there are groups that they tend to – the way they communicate now is that way. Or they use Marco Polo or some other app. But I have people that, like, they detest it. And I understand why if it just starts blowing up and you're not, in it. But
it's like crosstalk. It's like you feel like around it.
Right. You're just listening to their conversation while you're trying to work. But, those of us who don't have real jobs.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we use emojis. We're like,
I just,
guys, I'm kidding. I have real jobs.
Oh yeah. Several too many. Well, and the point about text too, like Curry's dad really fought technology like most people who are in their 80s.
Yeah.
But now he's got an iPhone that I bought him and he's embraced it and he likes it. I think he hates it less. I'll say that.
Okay.
So he wouldn't text for a while. And then I showed him, and then he started doing it, and he'll respond back. And every text, he'll put, love, dad, at the end. I think he's using voice, because it'll be like, love, dad.
Well, that's sweet,
but he uses emojis. He'll have a little old dad man face at the
end
of his.
Wow, so he's scrolled through and found.
He's found the emoji. So I think it's so cute. But also, I asked my wife, and I was like, have you talked to dad about this? Because her dad's coming in to stay with us for a couple of nights this week. And so I was like, have you talked to him? Yeah. And I said, she goes, I think he needs a break. And I was like, what are you getting that from? Have you spoke to him on the phone? Well... And she goes, yeah, I did actually talk to him on the phone. I go, good. I said, we text him now almost, exclusively. And he does it. Like, he gives in. All right, this is how I can communicate with these people.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, we need to call him at least once a week. Like, give him an actual phone call. Because that's what he prefers.
Right.
Older people want the phone call.
Yeah.
If you can't be in person, they at least want to hear a voice. But yeah, he's kind of met us at our level. And I feel like we need to meet him halfway, maybe like once a week, and be like, "All right, Dad, let's talk it out."
Interesting. And yeah, my mom and I, she lives with me, we text a lot.
You text, and she's upstairs.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll call her.
Yeah.
And she's upstairs.
Yeah.
But yeah, I apologized to her the other day because there are days that go by, especially if we start early, have practice or training. I mean, Sadie doesn't finish sometimes.
Practice training with your mom. You're like, man, I tell you
come
what,
on,
like,
mom, come we on. Gotta
seven more.
Like, she'll have practice tonight from 7 till 9, and the gym is located. It's about a 40-minute drive when it's all said and done. So it's 10 o'clock usually before we get home. So there are nights I don't get home until then, and I just don't even see my mom in my own house. So, but we do text, and I'll go up, and that's interesting. I have to ask her. Like, does it feel?
Yeah. What do you prefer? Because, again, it's like I can't give him what he prefers, which is like every day maybe. I just don't – I don't have that.
Right.
But I just want to be like, all right, well, he's kind of given up on – he's kind of given some on this because he's like, all right, look, this is how I'll stay in touch with everybody. And I think he embraced it more than he would admit. Like he screened, this phone, this smartphone, whatever, is not very smart. Old people
always
say stuff like that. But then I'll see him like noodling around with it and – he has games he plays, and I'm just like,
well, it's good that you got him addicted.
He likes
exactly, like the rest of us.
I won him over, and now he can't put down. No, he puts down the phone. He didn't buy a case for it. It's got a little case, but it gripped. He puts it in his front pocket. He's a front pocket guy.
Okay, sure.
And it was like sticking inside his pocket because the case is like this grippy rubber.
Uh-huh.
So I go, well, Dad, I can get you a case that's not that. And he goes, no, I figured it out. And he pulls it out, and he's taped, scotch taped, a piece of notebook paper to the back of it.
Okay.
I go, Dad.
That's ingenuity.
It's something.
Innovation.
Yeah. I was like, all right, well, I guess this makes it a little bit
works.
Slipperier, but what are you doing?
John,
I wrap it in tinfoil, and we're good. Okay, that's too much.
You know what else is innovative?
What's that?
Our sponsors.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I think.
There's a
not
lot.
Not knowing what this ad's going to be, I 100% stand behind whatever product or service they're offering.
Yeah, let's take a moment to hear just from a word from a few of them. I hope it was innovative.
And yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
And not offensive in any way. We don't know.
The Geico commercials sometimes, those are innovative.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of their, I don't know if their insurance is innovative.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of those things.
They're the ones that do the, we can't stop you from becoming your parents.
Is yes.
That those are so funny.
Yes.
The best one is the one now where the guy is at the restaurant and they're saying, choose a base. And it's one of those Chipotle kind of places where it's like, make your salad or whatever. Right. And he's just like, what in the world? And then at the end, they go, $19. And he goes, oh, no, I'm just paying for my own salad. It's so funny. But it also is kind of an indictment. Like, we're mad at old people not realizing that, while also things are really
they're
overpriced.
Stupid expensive.
It's crazy that $19 would be normal for a salad. And he's right.
Yeah, I read this morning that, you know, inflation has slowed faster than they thought. And the article said, look, things still cost way more. They're just not getting more expensive as fast as they were.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, because it's like when I notice it, because I go to McDonald's more than most children. Like McDonald's, like Nate has a bit about that. McDonald's is for kids. What are you doing here?
Right.
You know, and it's right. It's true. But I try to save money on the road. I don't eat out expensive places on the road. I'll go by after my show and just grab a drive through.
Uh-huh.
And that's just how I, whatever. And so I eat a lot of fast food. But then I've noticed like the thing I normally order, which is like a double cheeseburger, it used to be like $1.50 maybe.
Right.
Now it's like $3. Well, now that, like you said, inflation slows down, but it's not like they're going, all right, guys, we're going back to the old prices. No,
they're
just,
do it.
You're never going to go back.
Because they know you'll pay it.
Yeah.
Well, and they're probably, their system is probably now built on that amount of money as well in terms of, McDonald's
what
is barely,
what the,
barely making a profit.
Well, but maybe what they pay their employees is more, and we can feel good about that.
I always wonder, I tell Laura this all the time, like, you know, one thing that would help inflation, and it's very offensive, mm-hmm. one thing that would help prices to come down would be for companies to just be willing to make less money.
Yeah.
So, well, we had to raise these prices. We have to have this 45%, you know, profit margin. And you're like, well, what if you had a 40% and we didn't pay $20 for a hamburger? Like, you know what I'm saying?
We're just not built that way. Everything is built to go more, more, more until it burns out, though. That's just how we're...
Well, in capitalism, certainly.
That's
how
it's wired.
Which, I mean, I prefer capitalism to the other options in terms of, you know, but at the same time...
Yeah, but there comes a time, with like this, where it's just unfettered and you never have a referee to rein it in at all. And it's just like, okay, the CEO got a $1 billion bonus while the employees got laid off. Like, that's a problem for me.
Yeah, and I don't mean to rail against insurance companies because I know that I don't know
one
anybody.
One of them probably just sponsored us.
Right. But I mean, that industry, now, in particular, you know, there was more tornadoes and our thoughts and prayers, I mean, go out and we took up an offering on Sunday and, you know, trying to help there in this area.
Yeah.
Came through last weekend. And so to all who were affected by it, you know, man, we're thinking of you and praying for you. But, you know, you got to think how many people now are making claims, and it really probably has been a drain on the insurance industry in terms of the amount of claims that are made. But just from the friends I know, trying to get the money that you've been guaranteed and paid into is an intentional, what do they call that, Johnny? You know the term, where they intentionally make this a difficult process so that you'll give up or
it
not.
It becomes adversarial on purpose. Yeah, they're making it Byzantine on purpose. Like, it's so complex. It's like the tax laws. They make the tax laws so complicated, so you have to go hire a guy who has researched it all. Like, my tax guy quit doing – he did my taxes for 30 years when I lived in Knoxville. And when I moved here, I kept using him because, like, well, he knows all my financial history. I'm just going to stay with him. So even though I had moved here for 15 years, I use this guy still. And then during COVID, they came out with the CARES Act and all these new programs. And I was asking my guy questions about it. And I was like, all right, what about PPP? It looks like I'm eligible. What about this? What about EIDL? He goes, I don't know. He goes, these are new programs.
Yeah.
You know, he's 60 something.
Right. It was moving so fast.
He literally, I get a note from my brother because he does taxes for the nonprofit that my brother runs. And he goes, you know, Roland is retiring. I go, what? Because it was like almost tax season. I go, what? He goes, yeah. He goes, he's going to run a wedding venue. They bought some land, and him and his wife are just going to do one of those, like,
good for him.
Rent the barn and take your photos here on the hillside and rent a wedding. And he goes, that's just what he wants. He goes, I think that the new tax laws just pushed him over the, like, how complicated. He's like, I'm not learning all this. This is a young man's game now. I'm out.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him one bit.
No.
And I owe a lot of taxes because of that. No.
Well, that's why I haven't paid taxes in years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a protest against the system.
Yes.
So I hope.
John's like a Robin Hood, but not as handsome. Was Robin Hood handsome? Probably in most folklore. Was Robin Hood a real guy?
No, I don't think so.
Huh.
I think that if you, I think I looked that up one time, but I think
was
it's
there
like
a real? Well, there was a sheriff of is Nottingham a place?
Yeah,
he was a fox, right? And no, I'm thinking of the Disney cartoon. That was a great, by the way. What a great Disney cartoon! An unheralded gem of a Disney cartoon, the Robin Hood cartoon. Like you get Lion King, gets all of the gravity. I get it, but come on, man, Robin Hood.
I think. Well, what about Robin Hood Men in Tights? That's the real gem for me.
Yeah.
There's some, John, it's some classic lines.
Mel Brooks.
It's one of those movies that I know your generation, if you, like, I have to keep myself from quoting a lot around here because we have a lot of millennials and Gen Zs now on staff. And I've realized I'm just going to sound like an idiot if I just say every thought. But
well, we're old, and I'm older than you even, and I was on Nateland, and it's like Dusty Slay, Aaron Webber, and Brian Bates. Brian's my age or a little bit older. Brian's 51 or 52. I'm 49. Aaron is like maybe 30.
Okay.
Maybe 31. Dusty's like mid-30s. So we're talking. And then we're talking about like comedy influences. Because somebody asked a question of that that's a listener to the show, to Nateland. And, you know, I started talking about like watching, you know, comics on Johnny Carson and going in to my 8th grade lunch table and doing the lines from it and stuff. And just like... And they were like, well, what comics? And then like, they were like, and so they were like, what is it? Like Mort Saul, like Jack Benny. They were like, I was like, no, you know, they were like kind of being like a little bit. I was like,
Groucho Marx.
Exactly. Right, yeah. And I did. I ended up saying like, honestly, I did watch Groucho Marx because it was on Nick at Night. Yeah, I know it was an old show then. It was like the '40s, but I was watching it as an 11-year-old just because it was on TV. So, yeah, I did like Jack Benny, but, I mean, the comedians I would watch would be like Drew Carey and people that went on to be, they got their own sitcoms because they were on The Tonight Show. But it was just funny them being like, who was it? I'm like, I'm not that old, but I am. But it is those references are important because they are these dividing lines generationally.
I don't know why, though. I'm experiencing it, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't feel, everyone
feel,
says this.
No, you feel like one of the cool old guys, don't you?
I feel like.
You're only as young as you feel, John.
Well, and that's not, it's not quote time yet, but I read the quote today that said, it's not how old you are, but how you are old.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so I want to be that person, and we talk about that a lot, but I want to be that person that, I do think it's a mindset. I think that there's a mindset thing. So I don't want to be saying
that
all the
time.
That
sounds like the same thing, though, how old you are, how you are old.
So I'm saying how you're treating it when you're in it.
It's like, not how heavy you are. It's how many people it takes to lift you. What? That doesn't...
if you open the door, the door will open for you.
Those are the same
things. If you doubt your powers, you get power to your doubts. Okay. No,
I get what you mean, though.
Well, yeah. I didn't... It's not my quote.
Oh.
But... it's like a famous quote, and you're like, dumb.
Somebody had a joke the other day. It was so funny to me. They go, hey, guys, I invented a new word. You guys want to hear it? And they're like, yeah. And he goes, plagiarism.
That's great.
He invented the word plagiarism.
Okay. I like it.
I give you credit for the quote, by the way.
It wasn't. I can tell you it was. I have to look it up.
Okay.
I said it without, botching it. So that's good. Hey, speaking of quotes, Johnny, I think it's time for us to.
Let's do it. Do we have theme music?
I think we have. We're still trying out new
is
theme
it
music.
Loaded up?
And so this is this week's episode of They Talked About That.
Okay.
I kind of like that one.
That one feels like you're a cop in a Western town.
It was like the.
It feels like Justified.
Yeah.
It feels like Justified.
It had that feel.
Yeah.
And that
slide
is.
Slide guitar. And then a little techno-y beat at the end of it to be like, oh, but it's the 90s
now. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, he's a throwback guy, but he's in the modern world.
Yeah.
It's Justified.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
And I'm a pretty tough guy.
I've always said
Everyone
it.
Knows it.
I've always said it. Do not mess with John. I promise you do not want to fight him.
I promise you do not. It's a little lighter today from Ken Hubbard. K-I-N.
Ken?
Yeah, K-I-N Hubbard.
Huh.
A good listener is usually thinking about something else.
Huh. I would think it'd be the opposite.
It's a joke.
Oh.
Like, you think they're a good listener. They're actually thinking about something else.
Oh, right.
It's usually somebody who's just thinking.
If they have that far-off look, you're like, he's really into this. Yeah. You're like, no. He's
Yeah, I active listening is harder in the modern age, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because there's just so many stimuli. Mm-hmm. And like, my wife awakes usually before me. Okay. Some of that's the sleep issues. And so she's up and she's going and she's doing all the things to get, you know, Sadie's lunch ready and all the things. And
did you say your wife awakes before
I
you?
I did say that. I said it very formally.
It was very Walt Whitman. My wife awaken. She awoke. My precious rose. Okay, go ahead. So she wakes up before you.
But like when I finally am now joining in, she's into multi-level task lists.
Yeah.
Like, hey, because we tag team everything.
Yeah.
And so she's like, hey, could you go? And if she starts listing that early in the morning, mm-hmm. more than two, there is a chance before coffee, especially, that I'm not going to.
Right.
Okay, can you go out to the outside refrigerator and get us this?
Do you pretend to have heard all five things though?
Well, sure.
But then she goes, what happened to the last three on this list? You go, oh, I thought you were.
I didn't.
Were you still talking?
If she was like me, she would have forgotten the things that she told me. By the time I come back, neither one of us would care about the last three things on the list.
That's the perfect marriage. Because I think that's what's happening with me and my wife. Curry, she's not a big list person, but like, yeah, she might be annoyed at me for something, but she forgets that I'm annoying.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know? I think she forgets how repellent my personality really is, just enough that we've stayed together for 20 years.
It's like 50
years.
First dates for her.
It is.
Every day she's just like...
She's like, well, he doesn't seem that... Come on. Right. This guy's just a knucklehead. And she like... She gives me a lot of grace, and I appreciate it.
Crazy old Johnny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then she gets mad at me in the moment, but then it's like, yeah, but come on.
Yeah.
It goes away.
Wow.
She's very forgetful.
That's awesome.
I think she may have had a head injury. We need to have this.
Well, whatever works.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that the day and age, active listening is just harder too because of the just many, many distractions. I can't get through a conversation sometimes. Well, people can't with me without that little device dinging.
Right.
And is that, this is the new modern.
Or even your watch vibrating, the haptics.
Yes.
You feel like, do I need to?
Well, if I'm with someone, like, if I'm talking to someone from an older generation, even,
yeah.
I will say, hey, I'm still listening to you. I'm not checking the time.
Right.
Because it looks offensive. Like, is this guy still talking?
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking down. It's like, and then I'm also at the place where I'm like, I don't know whose conversation requires. Because if I'm at lunch and it texts, I always check to see if my daughter texted me.
Yeah.
Or to see if my wife texted me. Other than that, though, but you still have to check it. And so you're constantly in and out.
It could be them.
Like, you were telling me important stories today. Johnny, I didn't get half of it.
Right.
I don't even know.
Well,
I hope there was nothing in there you needed me to do.
That's why it's so important to have a lot of friends. Because, like, if they all combine, they might get what's going on with you.
Oh, I like that.
You can't expect one person
spread it out.
To get all of it.
No.
You vomit it all out, and then, like, you might catch some. And everybody, yeah.
And you get a little tidbit of advice from each one of them that you sort of, which you're not listening to either.
You homogenize it into, you don't listen to their advice.
And you say whatever you want to say either.
You take what they say that backs up what you were going to do anyway, and you go like, well, they said it's cool.
Yeah.
It's like when you do a Google search for something, you do your own research, air quotes, you just wait until you find something that agrees, and you go like, well, there it is.
That's right there.
Look.
I found it.
Yeah. Lizard people.
You don't even click the link. You just see like the title. There's another quote I read today that said, most people seeking advice are actually looking for corroboration.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what
I definitely think that. I think that that's true for sure. And that corroborates what I already thought. No, but it is good. I want to be a better listener. I want to know what that looks like because, I think of myself as, it's like, we all have turned into content creators without meaning to now.
Right.
Or we at least think that it's important. Or at least we idolize other content creators. Even if we see ourselves as not content creators, we go, but the cool people are content creators. So are we constantly thinking of like how to be more interesting or how to, instead of just being like being engaged in the current moment, how do we do it? And what does it look like? But it's definitely going to become a more rare quality to be a good listener.
I think the older I get, maybe the less I'm worried. You know, I've shared sort of that testimonial, thing that happened to me this last year where I really kind of woke up to not feeling the need to carry the outcomes of whatever your supposed success targets are. And it does make me, I think it's made me be more engaged in other people's stories because, you really are. And even the pastoral side, there are times in life when they're coming to you and asking you to tell them something. Mm-hmm. And so you're listening, but you're also scanning.
Yeah.
You're scanning scripture in your head. You're scanning, you know.
Yeah, you're thinking of a response, but you're not necessarily thinking of something else. Like, I'm thinking of my own thing to say. You're trying to think of, like, what's the best advice I can give this person? But it's running in your head while still listening. I think you can do both.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I think I do both. I do try to take more time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, first thing, you know, well, let's think about it for a second, you know. And, and instead of just, like, here's the definitive answer, I probably still do that some. Like, if I have a key.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I've been doing this so long. There's almost always some experience I've had that could align with the experience they're talking about or that I've seen in someone else. Like, hey, you know, I remember I had a kid in, you know, back in the youth group that they did this, or I did a premarital counseling thing, the couple struggling with this. Or that's the benefit of experience. You know,
and your disaster reminds me of this person that I also helped. Your particular malady, the way that you've wrecked your life, really reminds me of this other person.
I can't believe it happened twice. Yeah.
But I will say, like, there's an old, like, sales thing where, like, when I started doing, I had business cards when I started doing comedy, you know, and business cards have kind of gone away, but people still ask for them all the time. But, and I don't have one. I'm like, here's my website or whatever, scan this QR code, whatever I do to try to get people to go to my website. But my buddy Marty, who did Sandler sales training, like the preeminent sales training, you know, place where you would go when you were going to be in sales, he would talk about, you don't give your card away, you get their card. Because the idea is, you don't make a sale or you don't get value from information that you give. You get value from information that you get. So now I have your card. I can follow up, and it's a warm lead now because you gave it to me. Other words, so, and I think it's the same way with listening. It's the same way with any relationship. Like, don't think of yourself as like, I need to give value to this person by my dumb thoughts. Take in value from them. You're going to get, you know, you're going to learn something about that person. If you let them just finish, I mean, I'm a terrible interrupter, but I'm saying, like, I'm learning more to let people finish. Because sometimes I'm like, you know, we finish each other's sandwiches. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think I know where you're going.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to fix that. It's like a toxic trait, you know?
Well, I don't, I mean, you're being pretty hard on my buddy Johnny.
I know. I'm sorry.
Right now. So, I mean, yeah, I think we all, again, our show is built around interruption.
Yeah.
In many ways. And I think it's great because, I mean, that's how we usually get to better spots and places.
You know? And I'm usually driving that bus.
And if I want to really hammer home a point, I'll just re-interrupt and take it back over and what I wanted to say or whatever. That's fine. But I think in conversation, for sure, you know, listening, I want to be a better listener too. I want to remain, I think, you know, there's a faith angle of that's hard for us in the modern age. And that is that we remain curious.
Yeah.
Because we're so certain. We're certain of our viewpoints. We're certain of our belief systems, certain of our theological nuances about God. And I think that it's okay to be grounded in something that you're confident in.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly I know that there's the whole slippery slope arguments of that of, well, you know, well, if you're just curious about everything, where does it stop? You know?
Right.
But I think remaining curious about people, you know, you think about Jesus who would ask questions of people that you would assume as a son of God, you know, there's a possibility with the incarnation that he had temporarily suspended certain parts of what he could do as God in order to experience more of the humanity. But there's often we know that he already knew the thoughts of his disciples and other things. I don't know when and if that was something he always did or if he could switch it on and off or if he was just following the Father's leading that day. But there were times he would ask the woman at the well or ask someone a question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you know, where is your husband? Or, you know, like he knows the answer, right? And we know later on he told her what the answer is. But the curiosity, like you said, was to benefit her. Let her share and he receive something. So remaining curious, I think, is one of those keys to not just being a learner, but to being someone who grows relationally with people. especially marriage, man, remaining curious is hard to do. You know, like, you know, what are you thinking now?
Yeah. Nobody likes a know-it-all, John.
No. That's hurtful.
That's a direct quote from my wife. And I'm just kidding.
Well, I will all be better listeners, Johnny. And hey, thank you, listeners.
Oh, yeah.
Because you are good listeners. Here you are.
You're listening. I can't believe it. It's been 33 minutes so far, and you're still listening.
You're still with us.
John, let's wind up the show.
Well, hold on. We had to close out that.
Oh, what were we doing?
We had to close out that that installment of They Talk.
Oh, that's
about
right.
That.
With the more. Oh, boy. So you bookend it, Matt? We don't bookend talk about them.
I've been bookending it since the very beginning.
You get to play your theme song twice.
Hey, if you want to pick up a computer and start producing, then you can start in all the buttons you want over there, big guy.
Thanks for that wonderful segment, John. Now let's do our final segment of the week that we do. It's when we go This Week in History, all the way back. It's a segment we call Talk About Then. I think mine sounds more newsy.
It's very official.
You like that? John, this week in 19... Oh, no.
Sound it out.
1917.
Okay.
Father Flanagan opens the Omaha, Nebraska home for troubled boys called Boys Town.
Mm-hmm.
He believed, quote, there's no such thing as a bad boy. What do you think about that?
Are you asking me to comment?
I'm asking you to comment on Father Flanagan's legacy and this sweeping statement that there's no such thing as a bad boy.
I think in the context of what he was saying, I would agree. How about that?
He never met the 1980s Pistons. Okay, here we go. John, this week, 1787, the second state was given its whatever certification. Do you know what that state was?
What certification?
Well, no, I'm saying it was we named the second state, or we declared
1787?
1787. What was the second state
that entered the Union?
Yeah.
So this is when the Constitution is being ratified.
1787, John. Stop skirting the question.
I don't know the order that the states came in the Constitution. That's the thing.
I love it when you don't know that.
I can tell you some things about when they left the Union.
Oh, boy.
Would that help?
No. I can get you a flight coming back from
I'm going to guess
state.
The second state was New Jersey.
Pennsylvania.
Okay. I wasn't too far off.
John, this week, born 1863, Norwegian artist Edvard Munch. It says Edward, but I think it's a V. Was it Edward? Edvard? It's a V. Okay.
Okay.
Edvard Munch, Norwegian artist paintings. He's famous for what painting, John?
I don't know.
The Scream.
Oh.
That was Munch.
Yeah, I didn't know it was Munch.
In 1994, I didn't know this, but it was stolen from Oslo's National Art Museum. Thieves stole the painting by using a ladder to enter a window where the painting was stored. That seems like a really... Come on, museums.
Come on, guys. Be better.
They just put a ladder up against the window and
what
steal
year?
The... This is 94.
Guys, we know better in 94.
The thief stole the painting. Okay, so two men were arrested while trying to collect a $414,000 ransom for the painting. And the painting was... That seems like a very specific ransom.
It's a very low ransom.
It's a very specific amount.
When I steal art like that level, I ask for a lot more than that.
Okay. Did you ever paint? Were you a painter?
I'm horrible. I'm not a great artist like that.
Maybe you're abstract.
Oh, I'm abstract.
Yeah. Maybe
that's beauty's in the eye of the beholder, then...
You'd be holding some bad paintings. John, the first transatlantic radio signal happened week, 1901. Broadcast from England to Newfoundland by Guglielmo Marconi.
Okay.
Guglielmo. Guglielmo.
Guglielmo.
I swear to you, his name is Guglielmo. Maybe it's Guglielmo.
I would like to apologize to anyone listening named Guglielmo.
That's the kissing cousin of Tickle Me Elmo. The Guglielmo.
Guglielmo. His eyes are huge.
big googly eyes. Guglielmo. Marconi, the distance was about 2,200 miles for this broadcast.
Yeah.
They used a 500-foot, and the reason I wanted to put this on This Week in History, because I thought it was an interesting concept. They used 500-foot receiving antenna held aloft by a kite, which is interesting. His detractors said it was impossible to send radio waves more than 200 miles because radio waves would not follow the curvature of the Earth.
Huh.
Marconi believed they would. Guess who was right?
Guglielmo. What was his name?
Guglielmo. They were both wrong. because Marconi was wrong because the radio waves did not follow the curvature of the Earth, as he believed, and his detractors were wrong because it was possible to transmit radio waves long distances due to their bouncing off the ionosphere. So it didn't follow the Earth. It's just that it can't get out, so it bounces back down when it hits the edge of the atmosphere.
It was right on the tip of my tongue.
The message he transmitted consisted solely of the Morse code signal for the letter S.
Which is?
I don't know. One dot, maybe? A dash?
I don't
or
know.
Two?
It's a radio signal?
Evidently. It was just a... He did something, and it was a...
I mean...
Beat-o-pop.
Yeah, couldn't you have... I don't know. What year is this?
It was 1901, so I don't know that they had... They had popular music back then, I guess. It would have been...
Maybe say something? I don't know. Like, check one.
No, yeah, it's just like, beep. I don't know.
How would you not know that wasn't a beep? Like, you're using...
I'm literally using
a telegraphic thing for this technology. You're mixing technologies.
I don't know what happened.
It's like mixing metaphors. You just don't do it.
December 12th, 1957, John, Portland, Oregon, disc jockey Al Pretty is fired for playing a version of White Christmas. Do you know what version he was playing that caught him to be fired?
In 57?
57.
Well, obviously it's not Bing Crosby.
Nope.
So, I don't know the other versions.
Elvis Presley.
I was about to say, it had to be Elvis or...
The station management said, it's not in the spirit we associate with Christmas.
Oh, because he was a rock and roll guy.
Yeah, canned him. So that's... And finally, John, this week, 1983, the Cabbage Patch Kids dolls...
Oh, wow.
...are featured on the cover of Newsweek magazine. The dolls... were responsible for Black Friday riots in stores where shoppers were trampling each other to adopt them. So we had Guglielmo before that. The Cabbage Patch Kids. People don't trample anymore. I think that's one thing that maybe technology, if for all of the harm that it's done, we don't have like people lining up trampling each other for things anymore.
You know,
they just buy it. Yeah. We need. Let's get back to trampling.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Black Friday happens every day now.
Yeah,
you know
it's
what I'm
true.
Saying?
Yeah.
I hate it was like,
but it's like
early Black Friday and it's like in October.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, and then Cyber Monday afterwards, you're like, well, since everything's being bought, Cyber isn't everyday Cyber Monday.
Won't that?
Come on.
The dolls would go on to set the record, John, as the most successful new doll introduction in the history of the toy industry. They were created in 76. So this was 83 that they were featured on this magazine. They're created in 76 by a guy named Xavier Roberts using the German technique of needle molding from the 1800s. So he was using this old, you know, where they put the cheek dimples in.
Okay.
It's called needle molding. And instead of selling them, he allowed people to adopt them from Babyland General Hospital, which he ran from a renovated turn-of-the-century man. So it really was like the adoption certificates, all that was not a gimmick. That's how he originally, that was his marketing campaign for the dolls originally.
Wow.
So I guess it was just a thing, and then it just like took off.
Then you know what else spun off of this, right? In reaction.
The Garbage Pail Kids. The
Garbage Pail Kids.
Which I was more of a fan of, because I have a darker sense of humor. So you had, yeah.
Did your church world go against Garbage Pail Kids?
Sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know exactly why. I mean.
Well, because it'd be like, I mean, it was disrespectful and gross and.
Yeah.
But it was all satire, you know.
Right.
But.
The Garbage Pail Kids. And then Sour Patch Kids.
Is that?
I don't know.
I watched something on the food that built America about Sour Patch Kids, I think.
Yeah. My niece loves a Sour Patch Kid more than life itself, and she can't have them anymore. She had to have some dental work done on her baby teeth, which evidently you can do.
Yeah. Because
they were like, she's going to lose these teeth if we don't, and she's not supposed to lose them for another few years, so we have to fix these baby teeth.
Uh-huh.
And then they fixed them, and it was a lot of money. And my brother was like, holy moly, it was a lot of money. And so then... I was like, I brought a gift to my older niece. It was her birthday.
Oh, no.
And so I was doing the whole thing of like, here's a gift for you. Because you got to get a gift for the younger kid, too. Because they don't understand when you don't get gifts for everybody. So I was like, here's something for you. And I bought her gummies.
Johnny.
Because she loves gummies. And my brother had to like quickly grab the bag and be like, she can't eat these.
Oh, what did she do?
She can never have gummies again. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah. And for like a few years while these, because they gave her crowns, you know, on these baby teeth. And
they crowned her with many crowns.
Yeah, many, many crowns.
Yeah.
And they crowned my brother with whatever. Yeah, second mortgage. No, they... So anyway, she can't have gummies, and she's, Sour Patch Kids are her favorite, and so it's a bummer.
So you just dangled it in front of her face.
They were little sour pumpkins. It was fall.
Ugh.
And I was like, these little Sour Patch pumpkins, she's going to love them. And he goes, give me those.
Oh, Johnny.
She wasn't upset. She was just like, I don't think I can have these.
And I was like, I'm not upset. I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
She didn't say that.
But yeah, she can't have gum. Like, they gave her a Tootsie Roll Pop the other day. And when she got to the center, she gave it back to him. She's like, they go, she was so good, she didn't bite into the gum part.
Wow.
Because she's not supposed to have chewing
gum. I couldn't do that now.
No, no way.
Yeah.
No way.
That's a lot of self-control.
She's pretty with it for a 7-year-old.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Shout out to Sour Patch Kids and those who can't have them.
Yeah. Ugh. Hey, Johnny, you know what, though? There's a lot of goodies going out from Talk About That.
Yeah. We have a lot of supporters who get extra goodies sometimes. We need to set up another Patreon call.
Oh, here we go.
Let's do it.
Here we go.
It's
guys,
time.
This is Johnny's empty promises.
It's not. It's Christmas time. we're home for the holidays.
You guys send him emails and ask him when it's going to happen.
I'm so ready. Here's the thing about those Q&As. Like, I'm always afraid, what if everybody doesn't show up and then it's just me and you? Like,
well,
nobody cared enough to...
Do you like...
You guys like stuff?
Gummy bears.
What's your favorite Christmas present you ever got? You know, it'd be fun. We'll do it. Let's set one up for before the new year. I think we can do it.
Okay.
The email will go out to the patrons this week.
Okay.
We're going to set a time. And you guys, we're going to have the best. We're going to have the Yule log going on. We're going to have bring your favorite cup of hot whatever Christmas cheer. And then we're going to have a little Christmas convo with the patrons. But anyway, if you want to become a patron, support the show, go to talkaboutthatpodcast.com. All of our archived episodes, click on that top right link. It says support. Down bottom right is a note where you can send us a little voice bubble. You can send us a little note if you want to. And people have been good enough to just send their diatribes and manifestos to us.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, the terms of listening. Also, if you'd like to see us, mm-hmm. you can subscribe to our YouTube. It's on the same page. Scroll down.
We're growing that channel. We really built it just to get clips for the show, to promote the show. But you can watch those full episodes. Some people like watching and consuming the episodes that way. So do that there on YouTube. /whatever. Talk About That.
Maybe. Just go to our website.
Just search.
Just go to our website. It's right there.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Johnny doesn't.
But you can find us by searching us on YouTube as well.
When we have that call, Johnny will give you the link then.
I will. I'll put a QR code up or something.
But it's on our website.
Yeah, it's fine.
You should go to Johnny's website, though. We've already said it once, but it's worth saying again. JONNIEW.com because there's so many dates that are filling up now for next year. He's got a couple dates left. If you're a local Nashville person, a couple exciting shows coming up this month, especially that December 27th show down at Zanies.
New Year's Eve, I'll be in Hillsboro, Ohio, and that's a free show. Come spend New Year's with me. Although you can still get home in time to, you know, watch the ball drop and all that stuff. Because it's like I think it's a 5 p.m. event.
Oh, wow.
On New Year's Eve.
Hillsboro. And they're not going to midnight.
No. Well, I hope not because I don't have that many jokes. Hillsboro, that's 7 hours.
That's a long time.
Hillsboro, Ohio. And I think it's at Hillsboro Baptist. Anyway. Hillsboro Bible Church. First Hillsboro. Anyway, go to the website and find out. But I'd love to see you Ohio folks on New Year's Eve. Come hang out with us.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Well, guys, thanks for all the time that you gave us today. It was fun. And we'll look forward to doing it next week on
Talk About That.
Have you ever considered yourself a messenger? I mean, you are called by God, and aren't we all praying the big prayer, "Here I am, Lord, send me"? So if we put two and two together, you've got a message to deliver, my friend. Whether it's mics like this, bookshelves around the world, stages to take, art to make, or businesses to build, it's time we start testifying truth unashamedly, creatively, and in love. My name is Tamara Andress, the host of the Messenger Movement podcast, which is designed to catalyze Christians to speak, write, build, and testify. I use my mic like a machete, so if you don't like to get your toes stepped on or pushed off cliffs to finally jump on in with Jesus, I may be too much for you. But if you're ready to turn your message into a movement and want to run with other messengers doing the thing at scale globally, search and follow the Messenger Movement podcast on your favorite podcast platform or lifeaudio.com today.